This podcast was recorded Thursday, September 19th at 10:29 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like Democrats and Republicans will posture for the next 10 days, threatening a federal government shutdown. We in the media will breathlessly report on the looming budget crisis, and lawmakers will cut a deal at the last minute. Tell me if you've heard this story before. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who create stories to bolster their positions. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, the redistricting reform campaign enlists the help of former Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh. But first, tensions in the city of Springfield continue to simmer. Another week, more bomb threats. The number has now exceeded 30 at Springfield City Schools. They've all been false, but that did not stop evacuations, and it prompted Governor DeWine to deploy 36 state highway patrol troopers to Springfield to help with security. Of course, this all follows Senator J.D. Vance's and former President Donald Trump's false claims that Haitian immigrants in Springfield were stealing residents' pets and eating them. There is still no evidence that is happening. On Sunday, J.D. Vance appeared on CNN's State of the Union with Dana Bash, and he refused to admit the rumors are baseless.
The American media totally ignored this stuff until Donald Trump and I started talking about cat memes. If I have to, create stories so that the American media actually pays attention to the suffering of the American people, then that's what I'm going to do, Dana, because you guys are completely letting Kamala Harris coast.
In case you missed it, a candidate for vice president of the United States admits to creating stories to raise awareness of the issue of immigration. Joining us now is longtime political reporter in Ohio, Darrell Rowland, who has been all over this story, covering it for WSYX-TV in Columbus. Darrell, welcome to Snollygoster.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to make my debut.
Yes, welcome. Yeah, it's great to have you here. You're a longtime panelist on our TV show, Columbus on the Record, but it's great to have you here in the snark-filled world of Snollygoster. You've been to Springfield several times in the past week or so. What's the mood there?
You know, on the one hand, life goes on kind of as normal. On the other hand, everyone is talking about this. Of course, we've had bomb threats for almost a week straight now. Yesterday was grocery stores. Of course, it started out a week ago today, Thursday, last Thursday on City Hall, some schools and things of that nature. So certainly there's concerns, but we're up to about 36 threats now. Nothing has been found. Governor DeWine has said that these threats have emanated from overseas, so perhaps reducing the likelihood that they're actually real bombs, but they are inducing a lot of caution. I mean, who's going to take a chance that, you know, that, just blow this off. This isn't real.
On the overseas thing, Darrell, did the governor provide any evidence that these are coming from overseas? You know, politicians say that all the time. Every time there's a disturbance, like in the city, well, it's outside agitators. Are they really coming from overseas? Do we know that for sure?
Oh, outside agitators. My goodness. They were saying that in the 60s to explain the Vietnam War demonstrations and the racial protests.
So he
did not. And that's a little maddening to those of us trying to cover the story. Well, it's like, well, that's a major development if you're saying that. Do tell. And he says, oh, can't tell you anymore. And
security.
Okay. Now, unlike some others in this, you know, Governor DeWine has so far provided very credible information on this whole mess in Springfield. So evidently, he has that from his own people or from the FBI who's looking into the threats. I should mention, these are bomb threats. There was actually a threat to shoot up a high school, and a high school student was taken into custody a couple of days ago in response to that. So we got to make a little careful distinction.
Yeah.
Now, again, copycats, who knows? You know, and that's the thing. Once this starts, You're in a cycle that's going to last for a while.
We do know this all started after the debate and when Trump raised this rumor to all-time amplification by saying it in the debate with Kamala Harris. There's no question there when these threats started. So are residents rallying to their Haitian new neighbors? Are residents more open now to complain about the pressure that these Haitian immigrants are putting on their systems in the city?
I don't think it's either or, Mike. I think you certainly have a contingent that is rallying to their new neighbors. There's like, I think, 10 new Haitian/Creole restaurants in town, including one just off of I-70 that was crammed. I think people want to show their support. They don't want to be associated with these goofy stories that are going around. On the other hand, frankly, there are very real problems. I mean, strip away the rhetoric. I don't know who J.D. Vance is talking about. The press never paid attention to this. I know we reported it in July and several times. Certainly the local media has been reporting on this. That, I mean, you take another 15, 20,000 into a community that's under 60,000. I don't care where they came from or whatever. That's going to cause tensions, problems in housing, healthcare, what have you. I mean, Springfield was this size, you know, years and years ago, but of course they're not now. And they're not used to having, you know, a police force, a school system, or what have you, designed to take that many folks. Now, again, the fact that they're from another country, the language barrier, the ability to drive, the lack of much healthcare in Haiti, you know, that does cause extra problems.
Yeah, it's the suddenness of it. They've sort of all, and there's no indication that these folks were bussed in by any by the Biden administration, as J.D. Vance has sort of alluded to. Like most immigrant groups, we saw it in with the Somalis in Columbus and the Bhutanese in Columbus. They word of mouth. There are jobs available. Word gets out, and Haitian friends and family bring their friends and family in to fill those jobs. So it's they're filling the jobs, but you're right. It is putting pressure on the school system, especially with folks who don't speak English, and healthcare system, there's only so many slots available for care. But they're all here legally, as far as we know. For the vast majority of these folks, they're here legally. They're here on temporary asylum status.
Exactly. It's called temporary protective status. And guess what? That actually was granted way back in the Obama administration after the big earthquake down there. And also, guess what? This was in effect during the entirety of the four-year Trump administration. So he's raging against a system that he did nothing about for 4 years as president. We can talk about open borders and all that. That's kind of a separate problem. We're talking about, you know, the United States government has recognized your country. If you live in certain countries, you're in a real problem. So we're going to loosen up the immigration status or not. Now, again, debate that policy-wise, whatever. But that is what has happened here. The Haitian people came in legally, and I'd still like to know how that underground communication works with the Haitian people, the Somali people, about their jobs there. There's relatively cheap housing. And then suddenly, I shouldn't say suddenly, over a period of 3 to 4 years, thousands of people show up.
Yeah. Yeah, word spreads fast, I guess, you know, especially with cell phones and modern, you know, instant message, you know, social media and things like that. You know, J.D. Vance has said in that interview with Dana Bash, which was really kind of incredible, Vance said that his office has received about a dozen complaints from constituents accusing Haitians of eating pets or ducks or geese at the local public ponds. Have you run into any of these constituents, Daryl?
I have run into people who have secondhand information. In fact, I covered a Bernie Marino rally over there last Saturday, and couple of folks bent my ear afterwards. And it was actually a very pleasant conversation. And, you know, the gentleman who I think has been on Jesse Waters and Fox, all that, he's a school bus driver. He's a Republican Party official. You know, pretty well spoken. He's not what some people say, he's a kook, he's a loon, not wearing a tinfoil hat. Again, it talks about some problems that are unquestionably real. He's driving a school bus, and he says, the last few years, I've really had to watch out for people coming at me in my lane, pedestrians, what have you. Okay, that's a real problem. He has seen it firsthand. Now, get into the animals and all that stuff. he doesn't have a firsthand. In fact, he went to the city commission several months ago, actually, and brought this up and was kind of shot down at the end by the city manager who runs the meeting. Or it's a charter city. It's not a city council.
Yeah.
It's a city commission who says, basically said then the exact same thing everyone's saying now. We have no evidence, zero evidence to back this up. There's been other reporting. I don't know if you've seen it. The Wall Street Journal basically called Senator Vance out on his claims. It's like, all right, you've got all these complaints. Share a name with us. Give us an example. So he gave them an example of a woman in Springfield who had actually did call the police about a missing cat, and she was, you know, worried it had been snatched and, you know, maybe put on somebody's grill or something. They contacted her. The cat came home the night after she reported it, and
it was
just fine. No burn
cats,
marks, no teeth marks, no nothing.
As cats are often want to
and
do.
That's as and as a veteran cat owner out there, yeah, that happens.
Yes.
Okay. You know, NBC News talked to the person I think who kind of stirred it up recently about these cat rumors, but she said she had in her Facebook post, she had said that she talked to, it was like her neighbor's daughter's friend or something had said that she lost her cat and basically, I don't know, saw it on a spit or hanging, the carcass hanging or something. She told NBC News that, I'm sorry, I totally misunderstood things. And again, it was like the old game of telephone. She misunderstood things. She's taken the post down and she has apologized for sort of starting this recent ball rolling. So anytime we do check out the firsthand accounts, they have fallen through. And of course, the other companion tale is that geese are being taken from local parks and eaten. ODNR jumped in that one, investigated that one, and found it to be unfounded.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, we're 0 for whatever in terms of anyone, official or in authority, being able to confirm any of this crazy rumors.
You know, you mentioned Governor DeWine, Daryl. He's suddenly all over this issue. He's on national TV denouncing the rumors. But as Mike DeWine is loath to do, he will not denounce the people responsible for starting those rumors. That's the playbook he's been using for the past 7 years, right?
Yes, and I wrote a little story on for just a web story, it wasn't on TV, a couple of days ago about how that's kind of the MO that even, you know, Springfield has it's a red county now, no question. It used to be one of Ohio's classic swing counties back in the day, but it's pretty well red. President Trump won by 20 or low 20 points in the year 2020 election. But the Republican mayor, the Republican commissioners are saying, you know, these are awful rumors, but they will stick on the rumors and won't say anything about the president or the senator. And, you know, and I think in some ways, you know, this is not exactly profiles and courage on the one hand. On the other hand, they've all seen, like we've seen, what Trump does to even public officials who cross him. And it just makes life miserable for them.
Yeah, but Mike DeWine is not running for re-election. That's why it mystifies me now. I mean, when he was running for re-election, you didn't want to annoy them so much. But, you know, he's got, you know, I wouldn't say he's got nothing to lose. He still has to legislate, but he won't work with the legislature. But anyway, you know, there's a lot of question as to why J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are sticking to their guns and not even casting any doubt on these rumors. There's a poll out this week that may indicate why they are sticking to their guns. It's a poll by Scripps. It shows that 54% of Americans support Donald Trump's mass deportation of undocumented immigrants proposal. 54% of Americans, all Americans, support that. That, of course, includes 86% of Republicans. Not a huge surprise there. 58% of independents support mass deportation of undocumented immigrants. And even 25% of Democrats support mass deportation. Daryl, they're keeping this issue alive because this issue works for them, right?
Mike, one of your guests that you've had on Columbus on the Record many times, of course, is Bob Clegg, the Republican ad buyer, Republican strategist. And I said, well, Mike Thompson thinks he's smart. He must be really smart. So we had him on TV the night of the debate. And one of the first things I asked him was, okay, Trump just talked about this stuff about they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, all that stuff that's created so many memes. I says, this is totally unsupported. And he basically says, truth, schmooth.
Yeah.
He says, Daryl, you're looking at the wrong thing. His goal was to bring attention to Springfield, Ohio. And he just told 67 million people about Springfield, Ohio. It's like, okay, he used an attention-getting, possibly false device to get him there, but he has moved the conversation now to his home court. He feels about the immigration issue. They, you know, they don't want to talk about Kamala's issue or play on her court. They want to talk about immigration stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're exactly right. And they're motivated to do this. Or, you know, there's a lot of things going against Trump in this election, but immigration probably is not one of them.
Yeah. Any chance this backfires, not necessarily on Trump, but on J.D. Vance at some point? I mean, this is really, he's really out there on this one.
Well, you would think so, but Mike, we've both observed it, you know, with the emergence of former President Trump on the national scene. And perhaps the truest thing he ever said was to tell Leslie Stahl that I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and it basically wouldn't matter to my supporters.
Yeah.
That kind of seems to be the air. And, you know, and Bob Clegg, you know, a Republican strategist here in Columbus, kind of went along the same way. It's like, you guys are doing the fact checking and all that. Just do that till you're blue in the face. He knows that it kind of doesn't matter. That, good Lord, dare we say this, the truth does not matter that much in a presidential election. Have we come to this in America in 2024?
Yeah, I wonder if that's unique to Trump. You know, I wonder
And that's the question.
Trump fades from the scene, which he will, say he wins in November and he cannot run for president again. He will fade from the scene for the most part. He will eventually disappear. We all come to our end one way or the other. Does this rhetoric, does this blatant falsehood, can J.D. Vance, can Ron DeSantis, can somebody else get away with what Donald Trump is getting away with among their supporters? I'm not so sure. We'll have to see.
Well, I think that's a major question facing our country, facing the future of our democracy. I mean, not to be overly dramatic about it, but, you know, is there a role, you know, for the truth in an election? I mean, right now, no institution is trusted, you know, and again, former President Trump, not exclusively by any stretch, but has played a role in that, in tearing down the media, tearing down people, the FBI, tearing down the judicial system where, you know, everything is politically motivated. It's, you know, these charges against me are unfair. And right on down the line, so it's like you can speak with impunity because anyone who dares say they're wrong, anyone who dares say the emperor is not wearing clothes is biased, can't be trusted.
Enemy of the state.
That's on their spare time too. Who knows?
It's a strange time we are living in. And apparently Donald Trump is saying he's going to come to Springfield sometime in the next few weeks. We'll see if that happens. I don't think he needs to campaign in Ohio to win Ohio, but again, he wants to keep this issue alive, and no better place to hold a rally than the city where they are, they're facing an immigrant situation, even though they are largely legal immigrants living peacefully for the most part. It's just a strange time. Daryl Rowland from WSYX TV, longtime political reporter here in Ohio. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mike. And this story is going to keep going on. Let me give the home site, abc6onyourside.com. Yes. We'll still be covering it just like WOSU will.
Absolutely. Check it out. Check out Dallow's reporting there. You probably remember him from the Dispatch, and he continues his great work at ABC6. Thanks, Daryl.
Thank you, Michael.
We'll be right back.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's tight.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.
Welcome back to Snollygoster. Some other news this week we'll talk about in future episodes. The redistricting campaign is up and running. We have the ballot language that voters will see. The ballot board approved it this week after the Ohio Supreme Court refused to make them make major changes. Of course, you probably know the story. The language is very loaded. It says that if passed, this amendment will create an unelected body which will be required to gerrymander districts. You could argue that's true, but that's not the full story. The supporters of this amendment say they're trying to eliminate gerrymandering for political gain. Voters will see the original language, and now supporters of Issue 1 are saying, that's fine. We're just going to get our message out through TV ads and through mailers. And their first ad is up this week, and it features former University of Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh. Why would they use a Michigan football coach in their ad? Well, of course, as Buckeye fans know all around the state, Jim Harbaugh cheated. He stole signs, allegedly. So the supporters of Issue 1 say if you don't pass Issue 1, the lawmakers in Ohio will continue to, just like Jim Harbaugh, they will continue to cheat Ohioans. We'll see if that ad works or not. It's a little in the weeds. It's cute. And it'll work in Columbus and Cleveland. Will it work in Toledo, where there are a lot of Michigan fans? We'll see. Anyway, time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past 7 days. And this week it goes to Senator Sherrod Brown and his reelection campaign. His Republican opponent, Bernie Moreno, has said he has divested from all of his businesses as he seeks the U.S. Senate seat. He says he wants to avoid all conflicts of interest. But on a recently filed personal financial disclosure statement, he indicates that he has invested in a planned Mercedes-Benz dealership in Sunbury, which is just north of Columbus. As NBC first reported, Moreno sought and signed off on $40 million worth of financing for the project. Moreno says he is just an investor and the business will be run by his son. Now, of course, the Brown campaign has been making a lot of hay about Moreno's business history, accusations that he did not pay overtime to his employees. So now, the Brown campaign has purchased the website, the URL, Mercedes-Benz of Sunbury. And when you go to that site, it automatically redirects you to a negative campaign website called The Truth About Bernie Moreno, and it's filled with all the accusations about his business practices. So, for hijacking the Mercedes-Benz of Sunbury website and turning it into a negative campaign ad, Sherrod Brown gets our Snollygoster of the Week award. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast, and just tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.